Wow, with Lent just around the corner, Ash Wednesday is this upcoming Wednesday. Today's liturgy very providentially gives us much great help in preparing for this holy season. And Jesus, of course, leads the way. As he wraps up the Sermon on the Plain, this is right at the end of that part of Luke's Gospel, he clearly isn't mincing words. Conversion simply is our bedrock. That's just the way it is. There's no getting around it. That's exactly what Jesus is pointing to. But we do try to get around it often, don't we? Because conversion often isn't that much fun. Therefore, Jesus uses very striking imagery to keep us centered on the truth. It's very easy to point out the shortcomings of others, isn't it? Yet, how can we credibly do this if we aren't honestly critiquing ourselves first? As our Lord points out, it doesn't work very well if the blind are leading the blind. You hypocrites, he says. And we can easily become blinded by our own sins, by our own ambition, by our own pride. And then we go out, yeah, we're pointing all these things up, but wait a minute, what's going on in here? Do we even know what we're talking about? And we can lead people off a cliff, just like or into a pit, like we heard in the scripture, because we don't even know where we're going. And so, of course, we don't want that. So look into your own eyes first. Look into your own heart, we might say as well, and make a humble, honest assessment of your own spiritual well-being before you look to critique and correct others. Deal with the wreckage within first. Bringing it to Jesus. That's the only way that you can deal with it honestly and completely. This is conversion. Dying to yourself, rising to new life with him. So deal with that wreckage within, and then he will lead you out to do his good work. And this is evangelization. Conversion necessarily leads to evangelization. Again, I'm not making it up. Here we go. Jesus is revealing it to us. But often we jump to that last piece first, right? We think we know what's right, and so we go out and we're zealous about it. We want to do this, and then oftentimes we realize later, you know, maybe I was putting the cart before the horse. So it's important for us to get the right order here. Personal conversion first, then Jesus leads us out according to his will. Then the three-legged stool I talk about, this is getting the wrong order. Getting that last leg first. We got to have the first two sacraments. Prayer, daily prayer, then we know the Lord's will and can go out and get it done. Otherwise, things get mixed up. They get combobulated. We end up being the blind ones leading the blind. So don't kid yourself. You know, sometimes people say, oh, well, Father, you know, I haven't killed anybody. You know, I haven't robbed a bank. So why do I need to go to confession? Why do I even need to go to Mass, right? I'm a good person. I'm a nice person. Well, that's setting the bar pretty low, right? I haven't killed anybody, so I don't need to come to Mass. I don't need to go to confession. Okay, that's nice that you haven't killed anybody, but that's the Lord asks a lot more than that of us. Look at the fruit you're producing. And that tells the story, right? That's going to indicate where your heart is. Are you bearing the fruits of jealousy, of anger, of gossip? Almost every single person that I encounter in the confessional confesses at least one of these. I confess these fairly frequently myself. What fruits are we bearing? Let's be honest with ourselves here. And Jesus says, a good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good. But an evil person out of a store of evil produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. From the fullness of the heart. Basically what Jesus is saying here is, you can run but you can't hide. Your speech and your actions are going to give you away. And so even if you do kid yourself, you're not going to kid other people, and you're certainly not going to fool our Lord, who sees everything. In today's first reading, the great sage Ben Sirach explores these very same realities. The fruit of a tree shows the care it has had, he says. Perhaps you think that your tree, and I'm referring here to your soul, your spiritual well-being, perhaps you think that your tree is in decent shape. Well, Sirach responds, he challenges you a bit. Praise no one before he speaks, for it is then that people are tested. In good times, you know, it certainly may seem that your tree is doing rather well. But what about when things aren't going the way that you'd like? When things are getting a little rough? This is when your deepest, your hidden self is revealed. Sirach also says, as the test of what the potter molds is in the furnace, so in tribulation is the test of the just. Our true selves come out when the going gets tough, when we lose control. The masks come off. We can't keep them on anymore. We can't hide anymore. And that's when our true self is often revealed, whether we like it or not. Therefore, don't be afraid to look into your heart, and don't be afraid to let Jesus enter into those dark, troubled, wounded areas. Let him come in and clean house. That's what he wants to do. That's what he yearns to do. And there's nothing he can't handle. Sometimes you hear people say, oh, if I come into the church, the roof's going to fall in. That's ridiculous. There's nothing he can't handle. There's nothing he's going to be scandalized by. There's nothing he's going to be afraid of. He can handle anything. That's why he went to the cross. Because he can handle all these things in our lives. We can't. The more we realize that and we bring it to him, he nails it to the cross, sets us free. That's what he wants for us. Remember, he is mercy. That's who he is. That's what he is. He is mercy. He is love. He has already won the victory, and he's just waiting. He's waiting for this invitation to come in and heal and lift you up right now. He's not saying, oh, no, you got to go clean up your act. You know, take care of this. I'm not even going to talk to you right now. Come back in a month. Not at all. Right now. You can't handle these things in your life. Only he can. So you can try to deal with them all you want. You're going to get further and further away. He wants you to live the resurrection with him right now, in every moment. That's what he desires. As St. Paul points out in today's second reading, Jesus wants to clothe your corruptibility with his incorruptibility, to clothe your mortality with his immortality, so that you too then can cry out with confidence, death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? You're taunting death here, right? And all of us can do this. There's no reason for us Christians to live in fear, which leads us to live for this world. Out of our fears, we're grasping for things, and we're reaching out for things that we don't have. We're really concerned about all these earthly things when we're really meant to live for the next world. So there's no reason for us to live in fear. Sin and death have no power over us if we live in and through our risen Savior, who has won the victory. Therefore, as Paul says right at the end of that passage today, be firm, steadfast, always fully devoted to the work of the Lord. Not to your own work, to the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Marvelous words of encouragement here. Okay, friends, as we've seen very clearly, conversion is essential to the Christian life every day. Not just one time a year, not just in this season or that season, not just on Sunday, every day. It's so crucial for us. Yet we have a wonderful opportunity amidst to encounter conversion with a particular vigor, a particular intensity during Lent. So many wonderful opportunities. So it's crucially important to prepare well for this holy season. Ask the Lord what he desires for you this Lent, what he wants you to focus on. Don't just assume that you know. Ask the Lord, where do you want to lead me, Lord, this Lent? And also, don't be stingy and just give up one thing. Okay, maybe I'll give up Oreos, and then I'm done. I don't have to do anything else. It's not a terrible thing, but don't just go for one thing, especially a thing that isn't even hard for you to go without. You know, when I was a young boy, I remember one year I thought I was pretty clever. I gave up rutabagas. I don't think I've ever eaten rutabagas. To this day, I'm 45 years old now. I don't think I've ever eaten a rutabaga. So, but I thought I was pretty cute, right? But obviously that's ridiculous. That's why you're laughing, because that's just, it's absurd. It has to be a sacrifice. Go big with Christ and take full advantage of the great many opportunities that Lent provides to grow in the spiritual life. Allow Him, allow your Savior to reveal your own heart to you, to cast out the darkness and wickedness within and fill you up with His marvelous peace and joy. He yearns to do this for every one of us. And so just allow Him to do that. With Christ's help, come up with a spiritual game plan for Lent so you can go out into the desert with Him, but also reap a bountiful harvest. Now, the kind of the battle cry for Lent, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, right? We hear that all the time. And I encourage you to do not just one, but all three. That's what we're called to do. So let's just take a little bit of a look at each one. Increase your prayer life. That's what we're talking about with prayer. So you can come to daily Mass. Highly, highly encourage you. We have different Mass times. Early in the morning, we have an evening Mass. Holy Rosary has noon Mass. We have Masses all throughout the day for whatever state of life you're in, whatever calendar you have. Try to come at least once to daily Mass throughout Lent. The texts of the Mass, not only the readings but the prayers, really draw us deeper in a beautiful way into relationship with Jesus. Confession. Of course, I'm always harping on you to go to confession, but in Lent, at least make one good confession during this wonderful season. Adoration, Eucharistic adoration. We have adoration from noon to 12 primarily here. We have 1 hour out here from 5 to 6. Adore the Lord. Gaze upon the Lord. Enter deeper into relationship with Him right there. But you can come, our chapel 24/7. You can go in there, we can get you the code. All you need to do is call the office. You can go in there 24/7 and adore the Lord. He's in the Blessed Sacrament. During the days, the church is open here. You can come and adore Him in the tabernacle here. Stations of the Cross on Friday. You don't have to wait till Friday, but we'll pray as a community on Fridays, right after the Mass, right about 6 o'clock on Fridays, we'll pray stations together. And there's a plenary indulgence, by the way, attached to Stations of the Cross, which is kind of a big deal. You can get one for yourself, but also for the souls of purgatory. We have this Restore program that we're entering into. Sister Miriam Heideland is going to be our spiritual guide. And if you're not already praying the Rosary, pray it once a week, twice a week. If you're already praying it occasionally, try to pray it every day throughout the week. You can do the same with the Divine Mercy Chaplet, a beautiful, marvelous prayer. There's the Surrender Novena that many of you encountered through me or other channels. I bought a whole bunch of them to hand out to parishioners, so if you want one, I can get you a copy of it. Beautiful, just surrendering it all over to Jesus. There's also the Bible in a Year podcast with Father Mike Schmitz. We talked about this at the beginning of the year. You don't have to start it on January 1st. You can start it on February 27th and then just go back, you know, throughout the 365 days. These are a number of ways. There's a whole bunch. There's a million different ways. But increase your prayer life. Go into silence with the Lord. Listen to His voice. So that's prayer. Fasting. Now, primarily fasting refers to food or drink. And you're supposed to deprive yourself, especially of something you enjoy. Not rutabagas. Maybe some people love rutabagas, but primarily something that you really like. So it's a sacrifice. But also deprive yourself of other non-food drink items. And technically this is penance. It's not really fasting, but TV. If you spend hours and hours and hours on TV, cut back on your TV time. Maybe even don't watch TV for Lent. The horror, right? How can I go without TV? What about phones? You know, people are constantly, you go to a restaurant and there's all these people, family sitting at a table. They're not even talking to each other. They're scrolling on their phone the whole time until the food comes. Cut back on your phone time. Cut back on video games. Some people spend entire days in these video games. Cut back. Give some time to the Lord. Also, you know, take a cold shower. That'll get your attention. That's definitely a sacrifice. If you've never tried that, yeah, that'll wake you up right now. Maybe even if that's too much for you, maybe just take a lukewarm shower. Instead of that nice hot shower that we all enjoy, just take a lukewarm shower. That'll get your attention too. What about taking the stairs? Instead of sometimes people will be in a building, they only have to go up one flight of stairs and they'll take the elevator. Take the stairs. If you're at the airport, don't take the escalator, just take the stairs. Offer up that little penance for you or for somebody else. These are just a number of different ways of fasting and penance. So prayer, fasting, and penance. And this leads us right into almsgiving. Oftentimes with almsgiving, we just think of a money, the treasure piece, but it really refers to time, talent, and treasure, the trifecta there. And so don't just throw money at the poor because maybe Father Joe made you feel guilty, so I'm just going to give money to the food bank, right? Because that Father Joe, he's on my case, you know. Don't give your time and talent as well. Give your money to the food bank, but go down to the food bank. Help them stock the shelves or help serve the people that need their products or whatever it might be. That's really the whole enchilada, so to speak, of what the Lord's calling us to do. And long ago, decades ago, I don't remember the priest, but I remember distinctly being counseled to give until it hurts so that it's a true sacrifice, and then give a little bit more. Give until it hurts and then give a little bit more. God's not going to leave you wanting. It's not like you're going to be destitute and homeless because you gave a little bit more. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us he'll repay you 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And he's not lying. He's not messing around. So, brothers and sisters, let us conclude with these beautiful words that we already encountered from Paul, but I encourage you to make them your own as we plunge into this marvelous season of Lent. Be firm, steadfast, always fully devoted to the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain.